the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Let me pray for us as we explore this passage that we've already heard this morning. Father God, thank you that we can gather here together freely in your name this morning to read your word, to sing your praises, to worship you as we come together. Thank you that all over this building right now we're doing it together as church family. And I pray that as we explore this passage that you would speak to us, that you'd challenge and encourage us, and that you'd be speaking to, challenging and encouraging every other person throughout the rest of this building as well this morning. That we would go out wanting to discuss this more and being changed by you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So I said earlier, my name's Rachel. I'm a member here at Belmont and I'm also a member of staff. I look after all of our young families. And this morning we're starting a series, as we said, called Jesus Brings Change. When Nick first sent me that picture, I couldn't work out what it was, but in case you're in the same position that I was, and I've studied it for a long time now, it's a cocoon turning into a butterfly. And hopefully that's a bit like what we're going to explore together this morning. In a minute, we're going to open the Green Bibles and kind of work our way through the passage in kind of a journey, I suppose, bit by bit. And hopefully you've already got it in your minds because we've already heard and watched it together. But before we do that, I wonder if you noticed the elephant in the room. Some of you may well have done because Saz has been playing with him this morning. I think that... the start of this series that maybe there's a bit of an elephant in the room, and I think it's the C word, the word change. I wonder this morning when you came in and heard that we're talking about change, how that makes you feel. Maybe you're somebody who doesn't like change, that you've already put up this wall kind of metaphorically in front of you this morning. Maybe you're starting to panic a little bit about what's going to happen next. Maybe you're just switched off already and you're not even hearing what I'm saying. Or maybe you're somebody who has a sense of excitement about change. Maybe you're somebody who's already started to make a plan in your head about what this is going to mean, what this is going to look like. And I guess some of us will have already thought those things, and maybe you don't want to face this subject, it feels a bit uncomfortable. Maybe the word change scares you, no matter what the context. This morning and through this series, I'd love us to face this word change together and discover that when we talk about change in relationship to Jesus and the change that he brings, we're talking about transformation, and that is a good thing. How about this perspective, which I quite like? Without change, there would be no butterflies. Here's the end game. Jesus wants to bring change in our lives, deep spiritual change that helps us to become more like the perfect version of ourselves, to get rid of the sleepy cocoon around us and help us transform into beautiful butterflies. Max Lucado said, God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. And I hope that as we explore over these coming weeks this idea of how Jesus brings change, you'll be ready to be challenged and encouraged by the transformation that Jesus brings to the lives of the people who we're going to look at in the Gospel of Luke in the first century, but also how we can learn from that and how that can have an impact on us and on our lives. So if you want to grab the Green Bible that's in front of you, turn to page 975. That's Luke chapter 5, and we're starting at verse 17. I'm not going to like read it all the way through to start with, because we've already done that. But we're going to kind of journey through the passage and kind of look at a few verses at a time. And I'm going to throw up maybe some questions and some challenges for you as we go that hopefully might help us to understand this passage better and understand what God is saying to us better. I'm going to put this guy down over there. He can watch you. So let's dive in. Verse 17. So have a look at those first few verses. Jesus is teaching, and the Pharisees have come flocking to hear him speak. They've heard that there's this new teacher in town, and it's time to check him out. It says they're sitting, although from what we know of these people, I doubt it's like sitting at Jesus' feet like rabbinic students who are ready to learn. I think they've come to listen to Jesus, but they're not necessarily interested in the learning part. They've come to sit, to judge, maybe to be a bit cynical. Maybe they're not expecting big things. They've put their walls up. I wonder if sometimes we come to church like that, maybe even today. That maybe we want to find out about Jesus, or maybe we already know him and we just feel like we should be here. But we're sitting there comfortably thinking that everything's fine. We're ready to judge. We're happy to listen. But we don't like the idea that Jesus could change things. Next, we meet some men and the paralyzed man. If you have a look at verses 18 to 20. This paralyzed man is stuck on his mat, helpless and hopeless. He can't go to the temple to do the cleansing rituals that the Jews believed would bring him closer to God. So people saw him as spiritually unclean, and he couldn't get out and about, he couldn't work. So he was the bottom of the social ladder in the first century. Then there's these men, they're often called friends. They were friends to Ned in that video. Although the Bible just calls him men, and I had a look at a couple of different translations, and they all just say men. So either they must care about this guy enough that they want him to meet Jesus, that they are his friends, or their faith in the faith that Jesus can heal him, must be great enough that they're willing to find this random paralyzed man and take him to Jesus to see Jesus do his thing. But that's easier said than done. Verse 19. They couldn't find a way in because of the crowd. But they aren't willing to stop there, so they do this crazy thing. They dig a hole in the roof and send him down through it, right into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Now, here's a question for you. How far would you go to help your friends who haven't met Jesus yet? What would you do to help them encounter Jesus for themselves? What could you be doing? What might God want you to do today, this week, to help those people? These men didn't just give up when it got hard at the beginning. They climbed a roof and dug a hole in a roof to send this guy to Jesus. And then in verse 20, when Jesus saw their faith, not the faith of the paralyzed man, the faith of the other men, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Jesus calls the paralyzed man his friend, even though he's never met him before. Isn't that amazing? It blows my mind that God himself in a body calls a man friend. A man who's been rejected by everyone else, who's the bottom of the social ladder. He calls him friend. And you know what? He calls you the same. Even if you haven't met him yet, Jesus calls you friend. And not only that, he says your sins are forgiven. Before this man has done anything, remember he can't do anything, he can't do any of those cleansing rituals that they thought would bring him close to God. He finds himself close to God, and Jesus says, "You're forgiven." When this paralyzed man appeared, I bet everyone was thinking, "Oh boy, here's that time, we're in for a great show. Jesus is here, he's gonna heal him. You know, he healed that leper last week, but do you think he's got the power to do this guy?" And the Pharisees are sitting there thinking, "This is it, boys. Keep a close eye. If he's a fraud, now we're going to know. Watch out what he's going to do. You'll see." Everyone thinks that what this man needs is to be physically healed. Maybe that's what you think too, that this story is about Jesus' power to physically heal. And it is. And in this encounter, Jesus does heal him. But I think that the miracle that we see is deeper than that. It's more impactful than that. Jesus recognizes this man's deepest need, and that is for a change in his spiritual, eternal state. A need for love and for forgiveness, for restoration with his relationship with God. And it's the same for us. It's easy to come to God with our shopping list of things that we think that God needs to change in our life to make it better. But Jesus already sees deep into our hearts, to the things that we truly need in our lives. Be comforted this morning that he sees you fully. He sees those struggles that you don't tell anyone about. He sees the achings of your heart. He sees the joys and he sees the frustrations. The things that we don't even realize that we need, he sees them. And he has the power to do something about it. If we ask for his help and have the faith that he can bring change, then he can. If you haven't experienced Jesus' love and forgiveness yet, know that today he calls you friend. He knows what you need, and above all else, it's him, his love, his mercy. You can have that this morning. All you have to do is accept it, like the paralyzed man. The most significant miracle in this story, I think, is not the physical one, although that is amazing, but it's the spiritual one. In this man's encounter with Jesus, he's freed from the guilt burden of religious ritual into a living relationship with Jesus, real God in the body right there. He goes away changed. But what about the other characters in the story? What about the Pharisees? Well, we hear from them next. Have a look at verse 21. They start thinking to themselves. Maybe the frowns start to appear. Maybe a whisper or two. They know the law. They know that God alone can forgive sins. But Jesus, he can't say that. They come expecting some teaching, maybe like an attempt at a miracle, or maybe even a miracle if he is a prophet. But not this. They can't comprehend in their minds that the reality of Jesus in front of them. Their hearts and their minds start to turn against him. By forgiving sins, he's saying that he's God himself. How dare Jesus say that? He's just a man, isn't he? But he's not just a man. He's God. And he sees into their hearts. And he sees their cynical nature and their questions. And he says this really clear declaration of who he is and what he came to do on earth. Let's read verse 22. Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Now, the Son of Man was a phrase from the Old Testament that meant Messiah, the one who was going to save Israel. So when Jesus says this, he's basically standing in front of the Pharisees, the people who know the law the best, who would know their Old Testament really well. He's standing there saying, "Yes, it's me, I'm God." He couldn't say it any clearer, I don't think. Now, it doesn't say here how the Pharisees respond, and I can't help but wonder. And if you go on to read in Luke, you get more and more of these collisions with this group of people as they question Jesus. They try to trick him, and ultimately they arrest him and send him to die. God is standing in front of them, and yet they refuse to believe it. They refuse to accept him because they fear the change that he could bring to them and to the world, the impact of their money-making, their power-wielding rituals, their status, their possessions, their lifestyle, their livelihood. I wonder sometimes if we can be like that. We get glimpses of the amazing power and love of Jesus, but we're too comfortable in the nest that we've made to be willing to accept what he calls us to, because it's different to what we think that we need, different to what the world says, different to the comfortable position that we're in right now. Our hearts get harder and nothing changes. Unlike the Pharisees, the change we see in the paralyzed man and those around him are transformative. Check out verse 25. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he'd been lying on, and went home praising God. Jesus has told him that his sins are forgiven, and now he's told him to stand up. You know, I actually think that this response is pretty surprising. If Jesus said that to you and you'd been lying on a mat for your most of your life, if not your entire life, don't you expect him to maybe like hesitate for a minute, to question Jesus, to limber up a bit, maybe to try and kind of shuffle about, maybe ask people what they think before he stands up? But it says immediately he stood up. I think this man has already changed on the inside by Jesus, because as we've already talked about, he's been forgiven. And I think he's already experienced that in his heart and knows the power that Jesus has because of that, which makes a difference now when Jesus tells him to get up and walk. He believes that when Jesus says he can walk, that he can do it. I wonder if God has ever asked something of you. Maybe he is now. Do you believe in your heart of hearts that when Jesus says that you can do something, that he wants you to step out physically, or maybe in a social situation, maybe in a conversation with somebody, that it's worth doing and that Jesus is with you in it? I know I find it a struggle sometimes. But when Jesus calls us friend and he forgives us, he gives us the power to step out, to trust his promises, and to live his way. This man goes out praising God because he's been changed by Jesus, and others around him see that change. They're amazed, they're filled with awe, and they praise God, is what it says in verse 26. I think this is the point in the story where you'd hear the words, "and he lived happily ever after." But I don't think that this story has a happy ending. And that's because I don't think it has an ending. The paralyzed man going out praising God is the beginning of his new transformed life, free from ritual, free from having to earn forgiveness, full of hope and the ability to choose to live Jesus' way. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it talks about how this happens to us too. It says, "But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil," that's the barrier between man and God, when Jesus calls us friend, "the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, when we see and recognize God and when we encounter him for ourselves, we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." I Google searched "becoming more like Jesus" on Google Images, and this is what came up. And I love this picture. That idea that Jesus is becoming greater in us, that we are becoming more like him as he changes us, and we allow him to change us in our lives. Encounters with Jesus, whether for the first time or the way that we meet him daily through prayer, as we read our Bibles, as we gather on a Sunday, as we go to home group, as we talk with Christians around us, these moments day by day can and should be changing us more and more into people who praise God because we know him, people who go out to love that annoying neighbor next door because we know love, to forgive that friend or that spouse that said that thing because we've known forgiveness, to reach out to that loner at work or the stranger in need, because that's what Jesus did first to us when he called us friend and when he forgave us, to live in a way that makes other people amazed and filled with awe. If you're a Christian here today, maybe think back to how you've changed since you first met Jesus. Maybe you can think of things that you want God to change in you now so that you can become more like him in the coming days and years. You know, as I was thinking about this story, I realized that actually it's kind of really familiar to a lot of us maybe. Have you ever heard someone talk about how they weren't interested in faith, they saw that it made a difference to their friend, or they had that eager friend who wanted to drag them along to an event at church or to a house group social, to a Christian festival. And then they encounter Jesus and they go home praising God. Is that your story of faith? Who are the friends in your life, just like in the life of the paralyzed man? Have you ever been one of those friends to somebody else? It kind of dawned on me afresh last week what it might have been like to be one of those friends. Over Easter, I had some of my oldest school friends come down for a couple of days, and they're all Christians now, but they weren't always. One of my best friends at school, she wasn't a Christian. Towards the end of my time at school, she started going to church with some of my other friends. She had some kind of faith encounter, but I wasn't really sure where she was at. We didn't really talk about it, even though she was one of my best friends. I wondered if Jesus had made a difference in her life. A year or so after that, it was the best thing to be able to go to her baptism service at her church at university, where she discovered Jesus fully for herself and was flourishing as a Christian in that place. To be able to look back and to praise God for the way that he transformed her, to have known her before that happened and to see the difference in her afterwards. And last week, just sitting, chatting in the living room, it just dawned on me how amazing that was, and that journey that she's been on over the last 5 years. It just struck me that warmth of thankfulness to God for what he's done, for his goodness to her, and the chance for me to see that. It was a really good feeling. I imagine what it would have been like for those men, the way that they'd seen Jesus working for real in somebody else's life, the joy and the laughter and the boost in their faith that they'd taken him to Jesus, hoping and trusting that Jesus could do something, and then seeing him deliver on his promise. Imagine the stories that they would take back and share with other people. Is God asking you this morning to be one of those friends to someone who needs bringing to Jesus? I wonder who the paralyzed men are in your life. Not necessarily literally, but spiritually. The ones who haven't yet experienced his transforming power. Lee Strobel saw the difference that Jesus made in the life of his wife. He couldn't believe it, and he went on to try and investigate who Jesus was and if he really was real, because he saw the change in somebody else. Whether he really could forgive sins, whether he really could heal people, whether he really could rise from the dead. And he ended up encountering Jesus for himself. We're showing the film of his story here on the 15th of May, on Sunday evening, at 5:30 in the evening. Maybe that's a really good opportunity for you to bring somebody along. A great example of how Jesus brings change as one man discovers that he really is God and that he really does call us his friend. So this morning, I want to end with a question, and we're going to have a few minutes to reflect quietly on it before I pray and then we sing again. I wonder, who do you resonate with in this story? Do you resonate with the paralyzed man in need of transformation, spiritual above anything else? Do you resonate with the Pharisee, the ones who don't expect big things from Jesus, the ones who don't like the idea of change? Or do you resonate with the friends? You know that there are people out there who haven't experienced the transforming power of Jesus. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Lord, I pray that that would be true for us as well. That we would see your transforming power in our lives and in the lives of people around us. And we would praise you for all that you have done. Thank you that you do bring change, that you change us from being dead in our sins to being forgiven people who are free with hope, who are alive in Christ. And I pray that you would help us to go out in the power of your Spirit, knowing that you are transforming us day by day as we live for you. And would you help us to be friends who recognize the need that others have for Jesus, who are willing to go all the way to bring them to his feet, to introduce him to the one who calls them friend, who forgives them and offers them hope and a new beginning at life. Amen.